loving God, may the words of my mouth, may the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your eyes. And God, may I never lightly presume to preach your word. And may we never lightly presume to hear your word. For in your word is abundant life. Amen. So much to talk about. The prophet Jeremiah and the law being written on our hearts. A parable that we just heard that might suggest that by sticking to our faith, we can find justice in an unjust system. I mean, we could spend a long time wondering about these things. I could preach either of these for about an hour, I'm pretty sure. But I was up really early this morning walking, and I'm tired. So I'm going to let someone else do the heavy lifting. I want you to use your imagination, and I want you to meet a man. He's an older man. He's seen the world, but he doesn't just watch. He's actually a judge. Cases come before him every day, groups, individuals, all pass before him looking for justice. He remembers when he first came to be a judge. He knew that he would make a difference. He would change the world. People came before him and he listened to their pleas. He heard the evidence. He weighed the interests. He made judgments. And his rulings were fair and just. And people's lives were made better. He surprised people with his decisions. He could see it in their eyes as he rendered his rulings. The powerful were often stopped in his court, held back so that the small could move forward. Widows were remembered. Wrongs were righted. Everybody got their day in court. His view and his mercy were broad. His courage, his strength, without end. You know what happened? Nothing. Nothing happened. He didn't change the world. His hair thinned, and so too did his view and his mercy. His eyes dimmed, so too did his courage and his conviction. So many people and so many cases, so many sleepless nights, and yet the forgotten were still forgotten, and the hungry were still there. Injustice still seemed to be the rule. The powerful won out or waited out the weak. The rich got richer and the poor got poorer. And it's at this point that we meet the judge. As I said, his hair is thin and gray. On the end of his nose perch bifocals smudged with yesterday's thumbprints. He has sat a morning in the court listening but barely hearing, judging but not really caring. He knows exactly how many months, days, and hours lie between him and retirement. In short, the world has wearied him, beaten him up, and almost left him for dead. God is dead. Remember when that was actually debated? We would sit in philosophy seminars and we would debate the existence of God like it mattered. We'd all sit around drinking coffee, discussing God and what God had to do with the creation of the universe, what God had to do with life at all. We were so young, so full of ourselves, so sure that we could do it all. We didn't need God, and so God was effectively dead. Well, dead to us. We didn't need him. We knew right from wrong, black from white. Only children needed someone to hold their hands and show them how to live. Religion was a crutch for those too weak to take on the world or too afraid to take on the responsibility. And I think that's why I came into the law, because I was a clear thinker and I wasn't afraid of the responsibility of deciding right from wrong. Who needs God when we can do it ourselves? We do it more efficiently, less vague. We, the people with dedication and compassion, we can shape the whole world. We can make it work. We don't need to sit back and wait for someone else to make it go. We can make it go. I started as an advocate for the little guy. You know, widows and orphans, small businesses being pushed up by big businesses, farmers at odds with the government. They're always at odds with the government. David's at war with Goliaths. And you know, I wielded a pretty mean sling. I miss those days sometimes, fighting the good fight. And there were times that I had to fight for the guys who should be in jail and speak up for people who should just shut up. But most of the time, I was on the side of the angels. It was good. And they asked me to become a judge. I was so young, too young, a lot of people thought. But this was the prize. I would be a judge. I would decide cases, not argue them. I would see dozens of people in a week, not argue for three. This was the way to change the world. And I did change the world. Part of it anyway, I think. Actually, the world changed me. I remember the specific moments. The man who wanted his job back. Company had fired him for his incompetence. They said that he couldn't do his job. We all knew there were layoffs in the wind. The company just wanted to get rid of a rabble-rouser. So I fixed that company. It wasn't enough to pay him. I made them give him his job back. That's justice. 2 months later, it seemed the man maybe didn't know how to do his job so well, and he crippled two of his co-workers with a winch and a pulley thing. And a sweet little old lady. She just wanted to protect her home from being squeezed out by a monster house that was being built next door. I think they call them McMansions. She just wanted to be able to have a little light in the afternoon, just enough sun to grow her tomatoes and her peppers. The new neighbors had a lot of papers and too expensive lawyers to show me why I had to let them build it the way they wanted to. She came to court herself with a basket of tomatoes. It wasn't the tomatoes that swayed me. But I did put a stop to the mansion and the neighbors with delusions of grandeur. They moved on. The next year, that little old lady, she bought the house next door, and then the one on the other side, and then sold them all to a developer. It's a lovely strip mall on the landscape today. There were others. But it wasn't the individual cases so much, I don't think. It was just the number of them. So many, every day. Sorry faces, bitter words, angry eyes, pitiful stories. It just gets to be too much. They all come in whining and crying, and it wears. It wears on you. You reach out to help someone, and they take the help, but then they never take the next step. They don't make things better. They just wait for you to make things better. It's as if helping society makes society weaker. These people come to court day after day, always asking, always taking, never giving, never doing for themselves. What is wrong with these people? Have they no gumption? Have they no strength? Have they no pride in themselves? I see big corruption, but you know what sickens me? Small corruption. People selling their influence for a few bucks, showing favor for a couple of hockey tickets. I see it in cases before me. I see it in the system itself. Decisions I've rendered appealed by those with more money, ignored by those with more influence. I grew a pretty healthy shield of contempt for my fellow judges who sold their judgments to the corporations who bought theirs, to the liars and the cheats who took what wasn't theirs, and even to those who were just so weak that they had to come before me to make things right. There's this one woman, a widow, no lawyer. Her brother-in-law is kicking her out of her house. He held the mortgage for the house when his brother was alive. Now he's dead. He wants to sell it. He can't do that with the widow in it. Now, you could argue it's her house. She's lived in it for 40 years. I think she even claimed that the mortgage had been paid off years ago. But she has no paperwork. How stupid do you have to be to not have paperwork? I didn't even listen to her. No lawyer, no paperwork. What am I going to do? Next day, she was in court again. She wasn't on my docket. She was just there. I ignored her. Following day, she was there again, and she spoke to me as I came to the bench. "Please, sir, help me." She wasn't on the docket. I ignored her. The next day, I ignored her. The next day, I ignored her. That weekend, I couldn't get her off of my mind. It was as if she was following me. I mean, she wasn't, but it's like I could see her everywhere I looked, you know, just out of the corner of my eye. It seems I had taken her file home with me. A mistake, probably. It must have been mixed in with some current files, but I looked it over. She'd lived in the house for 40 years. There was no record of her contributing to the purchase of the house. But then there was no record of a mortgage either. Just a lien that her brother-in-law had had on the house for 39 years. Probably one of those things that was put on, some clerk forgot to remove it. Or maybe they never knew that the brother had put a lien on the house. It's just weasels do that. Still, the law is the law, and if she's dumb enough not to take care of these things, that's too bad. Her husband probably took care of the finances when he was alive. But still, she should have learned. I could investigate the lien, probably. I could throw it out, but then she'd probably sell the house to a developer and another strip mall would beautify the neighborhood. So I resolved to let it go, put the file away under a pile of more important cases. Monday, she was there again. "Please, sir, give me justice," she asked. I ignored her. Tuesday, same thing again. People were starting to notice. Colleagues were wondering about my new girlfriend. It was all incredibly annoying. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. It couldn't last much longer. I mean, surely she was to be evicted from the house any day now. Then she would be out of my hair. But another weekend of seeing her, hearing her, all in my head. Maybe a little bit in my heart. Monday morning, I went to court early. And I approached her this time. And I said, "Look, madam, you have no case. I am sure somehow you are being abused by your brother-in-law, by the system, maybe even by me. But you know what? I can't do anything for you. I won't do anything. I am done. I see hundreds of you every week, and I am done. I can't fix it for you. I can't make it work. I have tried. I have tried, and you people just keep coming and coming, and I am done. I don't even know what's right. Hell, I probably know what's right. For God's sake, it's practically written on my heart, and it's in my head, but I can't do it. Now leave me alone." And she just looked at me. "Please, sir, give me justice." There were no tears in her eyes. The tears were in mine. "Please, sir, give me justice." She had nothing. She had no case. She had no paperwork. She had no hope. And somehow she had me. She was nothing. No one noticed her except to make fun of me. But I couldn't get her out of my mind. God isn't dead. She was right there, standing in my courtroom, day after day, asking me, "Please, sir, give me justice." God isn't dead. She made me listen. Not by bluster or bravado, not by power or influence, not by strength of argument, just by asking again and again, "Please, sir, give me justice." A still, quiet voice asking me to do the right thing. Not save the world, not feed all of the hungry or rescue all of the poor, just to do the right thing this time, in this instance, today. I took the lien off the house. It was the right thing to do. I didn't change the world much, but I met God, not dead. Never was. God has always been standing there quietly asking me again and again, do the right thing, this time, today. I'm glad that I finally noticed. Thanks be to God. In response, let's sing Bring Many Names. It's 268 in the Voices United.